aware that we'll be continuing the meditation this morning that I got some halfway through. I will review for those of you who weren't here, if you would care to have a handout sheet which would assist you, and you don't have that, please just indicate with a hand and the men will wait on us. Well, our meditation this morning and this evening focuses on the life and ministry of Aquila and Priscilla, and I want to read these six passages where the two of them are mentioned, and to notice together that every time that one of these two is mentioned, the other is mentioned, and then even further that four of the six times Priscilla's name comes first. Acts chapter 18, beginning here at verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he, Paul, went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Then verse 18. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them, Priscilla and Aquila, there. But he himself went into the synagogue, reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." And he set sail from Ephesus. Now, in verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, that's the location of the church at Corinth, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. And then from Romans 16, verse 3, the greetings of Paul as he is writing from Corinth. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their lives, their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. 1 Corinthians 16, 19 and 20, Paul writing, actually earlier than the Romans passage, but writing from Ephesus. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And then at the time of Paul's leaving this world, he sends his last epistle to Timothy. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. Well, let's stop and pray that God will bless our meditation in His Word. Let's do pray. Lord, we want to learn lessons of grace. We want to learn lessons that will help us in our marriages so that they will be kingdom useful marriages that seek to advance your kingdom. And we pray that you would help us as we come to these various verses again this evening. Guide us, Spirit of God, help me with my words, and give me the ability to communicate your truth. And we pray, Lord, for me as words are coming out of my mouth, and for the hearers as words are going into their ears, that you would wonderfully bless in this process, and that you would use our meditation to build us up in the most holy faith. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Priscilla and Aquila are a wonderful example of a kingdom-useful marriage. They're extremely unusual in what they are able to accomplish in the kingdom of Christ. They're a wonderful example of a marriage that is useful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot deny that you cannot do, I'm sorry, can't even read. You cannot do what they did without large measures of self-denying agape love and having this love for their spouse and as well as for others. Now, in this study, I give credit to Scott Polley's little book that just came out the end of July. As we look at this couple, they believed together, they were persecuted together, they lived as husband and wife together, they worked in business together, they had the Apostle Paul living with them together, they taught Apollos together, they had a church in their home at Ephesus together, they had a church in their home at Rome together, they risked their necks for the Apostle Paul together. Aquila was not an apostle, nor an elder, nor a deacon, based on the information that we have from the New Testament. Priscilla was not a pastor, nor a Mrs. Pastor, nor a pastor's wife. However, they as a couple were both the Apostle Paul's fellow workers in Christ Jesus. To think in terms of our earlier studies in marriage, they were not those selfish individuals who were drilling holes in their own marriage boat, perhaps being spiteful, but actually inflicting harm on themselves. And then as well, they are, as we've seen in our earlier studies, those who were obviously making ongoing deposits in their marriage bank. For if they had not made those kinds of deposits, they simply would not have the kind of life and ministry that they had as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have seen this morning something of how they are a model of marital oneness. We saw God's design for marriage as a close unity and saw Aquila and Priscilla demonstrate this close unity. We saw thirdly this morning that God's hand is to be seen behind our own marriages. And then the question, are you in a strong marital union? Roman numeral 2 that we looked at this morning, as we saw Aquila and Priscilla are a model of benefiting from affliction. They were kicked out of Rome. They lost their business. They lost their home and have to be there in Corinth. And they would learn we can know that God works all things for good, and they could know that God rules in all places. Roman numeral 3.
We saw this morning that they are a model of learning and then sharing God's truth. They learned all those things from being with the Apostle Paul in the founding days of the church there at Corinth, as they were there together with Paul for those 18 months. But then, having learned all those things, it was Paul's intention that they go with him on to Ephesus, and he left them there at Ephesus, and it's a good thing that he did. But then they are able, when Apollos comes through, they're able to pull him aside discreetly and explain to him the way of God more accurately. And then this evening, we want to take up our study by looking together at Roman numeral 4. They are a model of family and church integration. They are a model of family and church integration. Do Aquila and Priscilla have a high wall of separation between their family life and their church life? And it is true that one danger in concentrating so much on our marriage and our family is that we can become, without even realizing it, somewhat self-centered. It is the four of us, or us four and no more. This mentality can creep in. Or others, my nine, and there's the line. It is our privilege and responsibility to pass on the light to our children, to our children's children, but as church members, we're to have this broader perspective of seeking to benefit many others whom God brings across our paths. So under Roman numeral 4, let's come to A. Let's notice something of a church meeting in their home at Ephesus. They arrive here in Ephesus somewhere around 54 AD. And long about 57, Paul is writing now at Ephesus. He is writing to the church at Corinth, his first letter to them. And as he writes, he says, 1 Corinthians 16 and 19, "The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord." The church in Corinth would remember Priscilla and Aquila because they were there during those foundational 18 months when Paul was first beginning that church. But we note well the words in 1 Corinthians 16, 19 of the church in their house. The fact that a church met in their house suggests that Priscilla and Aquila are a family of some means. They are able to have a home that is large enough that the people of God can come in, perhaps for a place of worship and for fellowship. It is also an indication of a significant amount of work. Those of us who look back to the days of the elementary school building there in Marshallton will remember those carts with the stacks of chairs on them, the bookcase, all that which was crammed into that one closet. And early on Sunday morning, everything in our meeting room gets cleared out. All the chairs come in. The bookshelf comes in. The hymnals come in. And that gets repeated Sunday morning, Sunday night, week after week. And we are aware that Pastor Thompson and Irene Chung, laboring in the gospel there in Hong Kong, have a church in their home. And I've been in their home. And I don't know for sure if it's Saturday evening or Sunday morning or a little bit of both, when all of the chairs and tables will get moved to the side and the rows of chairs will come in for that to be their meeting place on a Lord's Day morning. Well, there it is, a church meeting in their home at Ephesus, a significant commitment on their part to the work of Jesus Christ. Secondly, B, a church meeting in their home in Rome. At about 58 AD, Paul writes to the church at Rome from Corinth. And by this time, we don't know for what reason, but it appears that they are allowed back into Rome, and Priscilla and Aquila have returned there to Rome. We read in Romans 16 and verse 5, greet also the church in their house. We can almost imagine ourselves in this kind of scenario. Oh, Aquila, it is so good to be back in Rome. I am particularly enjoying having our home to ourselves without the weekly disruption of changing over for church meetings in our home. I was starting to get burnt out over all the work there at Ephesus. Well, did Priscilla really say that to Aquila? Well, evidently not, because there is yet a church in their home now in Rome. Thirdly, notice with me, this is C, the gospel church was central to their lives. In Ephesus, believers went from meeting in some sort of connection with the synagogue, the regular meetings, I'm not sure about that, but in time, they came to the hall of Tyrannus at least for 2 years. I'll read from Acts 19 and verse 9. But when some of the Jews became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he, Paul, withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And while this is true, still in some capacity, the church met in Priscilla and Aquila's home. And in the first century, this was no small sacrifice. Followers of Christ were despised, and those who were identified with them were often marked for persecution. Most churches did not have buildings to meet in until the third century, which meant that early believers had to find private homes in which to gather. Usually this was the home of a family that was materially blessed enough to have a larger home to meet in. And we recognize that it is God who gives the power to get wealth. It is God who gave the power to get wealth to Aquila and Priscilla. And all that we have as believers is to be used for His glory and for His purposes. And because this couple was given to Christ, it was no difficulty for them to then give their home for the cause of Jesus Christ. They understood that being a part of evangelical Christianity, being a part of a church, they were a part of something that was much larger than themselves. And I trust that we have a sense of that as well. But we can see very plainly, Aquila and Priscilla did not simply go to church. They loved the church, served the church, invested in the church, were an active part of the church. And in our day, when many do not emphasize the local church at all, we need to come back to this biblical principle and make sure that our family is connected to the larger church family. Join your influence and the lives of those you love to a group of believers. And this Scott Pauley writes, when we belong to a local church, we place ourselves in the greatest fellowship in the world and under the accountability that every Christian needs. The church, if you look at the meaning of its words brought together, the two compounds, it's a called out assembly. And though there are many nuances to the significance of church, at its very basis, it is a called out assembly. And what we learn is that an assembly needs to assemble. Once we as believers are to be a part of a church, we're to give ourselves to it. And once we establish faithful attendance, the next question is, how may I serve? What can I do to work in the church? Remember how he describes Priscilla and Aquila. They are my fellow workers in the church. Listen to Peter. 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, a spiritual gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Aquila and Priscilla served. They were willing to have the church meeting in their home. This likely extended to a rich hospitality that they would provide. And we need to understand as we read these words, you don't invite a church into your home without the church being in your heart. I remember being in Arif and Kathy's home there in Islamabad. And one of the details, and I'll not go into it here in polite company, but one of the details is that in that culture and in that setting, people are not accustomed to a Western toilet. And so what involved having the church come in for worship and fellowship into their home meant that every Sunday evening, that bathroom had to be thoroughly cleaned, every square inch of it. As we minister to one another in the church, God will strengthen us. It's not just what we receive in, it's what we give out. Not everyone will fulfill the same purpose in the church, but there's really nothing more beautiful than seeing a family that is committed to the church and serving the church for the advance of God's kingdom. We see it in Priscilla and Aquila. Biblical Christians should build biblical marriages and belong to biblical churches. Fourthly, D, marriage is for ministry. Now, that's not the only thing that marriage is for. But when we're looking at this particular couple, Aquila and Priscilla, we can underscore that marriage is for ministry. Where husband and wife are believers, there is the opportunity of multiplying their usefulness. If I said this morning that marriage math is 1 + 1 = 1, when we come to the married couple's usefulness, then the marriage math becomes more like 1 + 1 = 4, or it equals 5. The point is, if you take all that Aquila was, all of his gifts, all of his self-denial, and you take Priscilla, all of her gifts, all of her willingness to work, and you have him do his thing, have him do her thing, add it up, it's going to be significantly less than when you put them together as a team. And this is only right because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And if we think again of Romans 16, perhaps you'd like to look at that passage again. Romans 16 and verse 3, there are three principles that we can draw from this passage. And simply to observe, they are Paul's fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Isn't this the very essence of a kingdom-useful family? They are fellow workers in Christ Jesus. The next observation that we make is that this couple risked their necks for the life of the Apostle Paul. Not every Christian was willing to risk his neck for Paul. 2 Timothy 1 in verse 8, he says to his dear son, Timothy, his son in the faith, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He says in 2 Timothy 1:15, you're aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Verse 16, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. Onesiphorus is unique. He stands out as different, willing to come and identify with Paul when he is in trouble, when he is in prison. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But this was not true of Aquila and Priscilla. They risked their necks for the Apostle Paul. Thirdly, we see from this passage in Romans, they are valued by all the Gentile churches. All who later heard Apollos were indebted to Priscilla and Aquila. All who knew the Apostle Paul were indebted to them for risking their lives to preserve him. Those in and around these large metropolitan centers, the churches at Corinth and Ephesus and at Rome, would have valued Priscilla and Aquila. Let's come back to this whole thing of them being gospel helpers, workers together with the apostle. Aquila was not an apostle. We don't know that he even reached the status of a deacon or an elder. Priscilla was not a pastor's wife. And yet, they throw themselves into ministry so that all of the churches are mindful of them and grateful for what they have done. As Paulie writes, not everyone will be a leader in the church, but everyone can be a helper. They are my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. It is important to notice that service requires sacrifice. So many will want to help if it is convenient. But personal comfort and personal and public credit can never be the motivation for work in Christ's church, or it just will not carry through. Paul testified that they were willing to lay down their necks for the Apostle Paul. And it is sad that many times when persecution arises, people will pull back so as to not be sucked in to the danger. We as Christians, as members of a church, ought to labor to be givers and not takers. That's not my language. It's from Scott Pauley. In heaven, many of the behind-the-scenes servants of the churches will be richly rewarded for their labor of love. Two of the most effective preachers of their generation, Paul and Apollos, were both directly influenced by this godly couple. When you minister to the minister, you have a part in all of the people to whom they will minister. Roman numeral 5. A model of faithfulness. Priscilla and Aquila are an example to us of faithfulness. And we are aware from the scriptures, from the teaching of the Lord Jesus, that there are many professors who do not persevere to the end. Listen to Jesus as he is speaking of the future there in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, I'll begin reading in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And that lesson stands out to us in the life of Aquila and Priscilla. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." He's going to speak in 1 Timothy 1 about Hymenaeus and Alexander. They've needed to be handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And the reality is, many couples start out well, but they do not finish well. They give up on their Christianity. Secondly, B, Priscilla and Aquila are believing friends of the Apostle Paul for more than 15 years. They are believing friends of the Apostle Paul for more than 15 years. And this was part of the reason why I was giving you those dates this morning and this evening. Paul first says hello to Aquila and Priscilla in about 51 AD. That's when they met at Corinth. And Paul says goodbye to Aquila and Priscilla for the last time in 68 AD. So even if we're wrong on a year or two there in the dating that comes to us from the most reliable sources, we can see that there's been a significant span of time that has elapsed in this friendship. Listen to Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as I read from verse 6, you'll get a sense that Paul is right here at the end of his life. "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And then it's a few verses later in verse 19 that Paul remembers his friends and he says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." And we need to understand that this is more than a mere nicety. It's more than a formality. Nothing in the Word of God is there by accident. And the Spirit of God prompted Paul, because of his love for them, to bring their names into this closing address of his very last epistle. It would appear that this couple is now back in Ephesus. They were in Corinth, then they were in Rome, then they were in Corinth, then they were in Ephesus, then they were back in Rome, and now at the end of Paul's life, they're back there in Ephesus. Likely helping Timothy, a young preacher in the work of God. And some have surmised, well, the reason that they must have been out of Rome this time was because of Nero's persecution of the Christians. We simply don't know. But they're back at Ephesus, and they are in fellowship with Timothy. And Paul, as he is closing out this life, wants to be remembered to his friends. You and I never know the time or the place where we will make our most significant contribution to the work of Jesus Christ. But as long as we have breath, there is something for us to do to get Jesus Christ glory. In the end, perhaps the best description of Aquila and Priscilla is that they were loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. They stayed with him. They were faithful to the end. So some 15, 17 years have passed, and they are still faithful to one another. They are still faithful to Jesus Christ. They are still faithful to this local church of Jesus Christ, and they are still being useful in that church. Little is really known of their talents and their abilities. We can speculate that they must have been fairly well off in order to have homes, especially with this kind of disruption, for them to have others worshiping and fellowshipping in their home. But really, what their talents were, what their abilities were, which one was more talkative than the other, we really don't know. What we do know is that they were faithful over the long haul. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find? Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Thirdly now, Priscilla and Aquila's true faith explains their faithfulness. Their true faith explains their faithfulness. Love is desiring and doing the very best for another in the name of Jesus Christ. And as I have said more than once, that their lives are marked by an agape love. A love that is other-oriented. What can I do for you? I want to do the very best for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to help you. I want to improve you. So I'm going to do this for you that I can take the stamp of Christ's name and put it right on this activity that I am doing, desiring and doing the very best for another person. But Galatians 5 makes it very evident that the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love. Love, agape love, is not natural. It is not natural to anyone. Now, some can be marked by common grace, but we're talking about an other-oriented love that looks out on the church at Rome, looks out on the church at Ephesus, looks out on the church there at Corinth, and says, what can I do that is going to help you to grow in grace? What can I do for you that Jesus Christ would want me to do? And when we understand that love does not just naturally ooze from Aquila nor from Priscilla, then we understand that God has been at work in them. They came to faith in Jesus Christ just like everyone else. What is true of every man, woman, boy, and girl who has ever lived is true of Priscilla and Aquila. None is righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. No one does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They got right with God just like everyone else who ever believed. They go out of themselves. They acknowledge at the cross, here's my sin. I want your perfect righteousness. And once they are joined with Christ by faith, we will see in them what we see in every true believer, that God, the Holy Spirit, deals not only with their record there in heaven, justification, but God, the Holy Spirit, is determined to well up within them a holiness of life so that their heart is transformed in the here and now. If you're not yet a believer, I urge you to go to Jesus Christ for the great gift of salvation. If you are a believer, then make it your prayer and your passion that you will be faithful to Jesus Christ all of your days, that you will be faithful to your spouse, that you will be faithful to your God-given assignments, that you will be faithful to the end. 2,000 years after Priscilla and Aquila lived and died, we're still talking about them. And we're talking about them because their self-denial, their desire to get God glory, was such that the Holy Spirit said, 6 times I'm going to mention this couple. And every time one of them is mentioned, I'm going to mention the other one. And sometimes his name is going to be first, and sometimes her name is going to be first. And here's the great Apostle Paul, about to be martyred, sending that final letter that he writing to Timothy. And as he thinks of Timothy, he thinks of his old friends who are there helping him. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this positive example here of Aquila and Priscilla as a husband and wife that seems from the beginning of their Christianity to be soaking in apostolic truth and from the beginning involved in serving the church, even in a more behind-the-scenes sort of way. Thank you, Lord, for this exemplary couple. Thank you for giving us their example, even though they did not have a title of pastor or deacon or apostle, but you were working within their hearts the desire to get you glory, Lord Jesus. And we pray that this consideration of their lives would stamp something of their character upon ourselves, and that it would be our great delight to serve you, Lord Jesus, to get you glory. We pray, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice this evening. We pray that they would have the true faith that will endure to the end, the true faith that will ensure our faithfulness. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.